The Art Dealer Diaries are brought to you by Medicine Man Gallery, specializing in antique Native American art, early Western art, including the famed Maynard Dixon, as well as modern art. You can find everything online at medicinemangallery.com. There's over 6,000 objects to select from. Also, the Charles Bloom Murder Mystery Series, written by yours truly, me, Mark Sublett. These can be found on Audible, eBooks, Amazon, and of course, the gallery at medicinemangallery.com. One of the great things about this job, if you want to call it a job, I call it a dream job because it kind of is really, because you get these opportunities of things that walk in that are just wonderful gifts. And this is one of those gifts that happened today is Karen Schmidt, whose grandfather was Albert Schmidt, who was a very famous Santa Fe painter. He lived in Santa Fe, actually lived up in north of Santa Fe. And this was, you know, they come with all these paintings that they found in Albert Schmidt's house when she got the house. And that was, you know, in 1989 is when she moved into it. And the house is not just any old house. It's William Penhall Henderson's built it, designed it. And so it's a really historically important house. In fact, it's on the historical landmark. And, you know, it's one of those places that's these rare homes. She's in Tosuke that you can go and see, you know, if you know Karen. And if you don't know Karen, you won't go see it. But the fun part of this was, you know, you have this story that's just sitting there. I'm looking at the paintings. I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. And she's here, the granddaughter. Give me 30 minutes to just talk to you, just a little bit, to share with people. I'm capturing history about how she found these paintings, which came with her house. They were her grandfather's. And then how they end up with me, you know, how I get the opportunity to sell the estate. You know, that's a very unique thing that happens as a dealer. That's kind of those dream situations where you have that opportunity. And, you know, I thought I would share it. It's not a very long podcast, but it's meaningful in that when you're seeing this, it is in the moment of when I'm meeting her for the first time and seeing the paintings for the first time. And I know who Albert Schmidt was. I've had his paintings. I love his paintings. So it's a nice little inside scoop of kind of how that happens and what it is. And I wanted to share it with you. Her name is Karen Schmidt. And these are the paintings of Albert Schmidt. One of the great things, I'm just talking to the camera here, but one of the great things is when somebody like yourself shows up to my gallery with something I find very interesting. And it's Albert Schmidt, who is a very famous painter who, you know, dies in 1957. And he's born in what year did he, was he born? 18?
Well, it sort of went back and forth. We decided 1885.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So I knew Albert's work. I had a major Albert Schmidt painting of my own that was in the Gallup Bar, actually.
Ah.
And it was there for like 50 years. And I got it from the people that had that bar a long time ago. And then you show up, and you're his granddaughter, Karen Schmidt, and you've got this super interesting story. And luckily for us, you're going to allow us to handle a lot of his work, and that's the kind of the story I wanted to hear about, is how do you get the work? So maybe you could just tell a little story about your background and how this all occurred. Obviously, he's your grandfather, but how you ended up with the paintings and to right now.
Well, I was in Chicago working, and my grandmother died, and she had left the house and everything in it to me. So I promptly left Chicago.
And this is not just any house, by the way.
No, and moved to the house.
Right?
Right.
You tell them what the house, who made the house?
Well, it was a William Penhallow Henderson.
Right. The great furniture maker.
Yes.
And artist.
And who apparently was the architect
of the house, too.
Of the house. So I moved there, and my mother was living in Michigan. And she, since she grew up and was born in Albuquerque and spent her summers as a teenager up in Santa Fe, we decided we'd move into the house. It was big enough for two of us.
Yes, and this is 1988 or so.
This is, well, we moved in 1989, happened to be Earth Day.
Yeah.
That we got on the plane and That's came funny. Out here and moved into the house, which needed, the house was in pretty good shape, so, but it still needed some work. But anyway, so here we are in Santa Fe. So now I have to deal with everything regarding my grandmother's death, the estate, right. and what have you. And the lawyer said to me, you should do something with the artwork of your grandfather's. And I only knew the paintings that were on the wall.
In the house.
So yeah. I did not know that in the garage, which is a separate garage, big, beautiful stone building,
right.
there was a room at the end where somebody could have lived. It was one room, but it had bathroom and everything. And all the paintings were in there. Mm. They had originally been in the studio, which my grandmother rented out, which was on the property. Mm-hmm. So they had been moved down there, all stuffed in. And thank God for basically dry weather. Not a lot
good
of humidity.
Really, actually, too.
Not humidity like you get out east. And there all the paintings were.
Yeah.
So I decided...
What did you think when you see all those? You know, hundreds of paintings. You know he's a valuable artist. You know he's a good artist.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like winning a lottery in a weird way.
You're right. So I thought, well, okay, what am I going to do? So I talked to Jean Seth, who had a gallery.
Yep.
And she said, you know, I'd like to have my daughter handle this, but you really need Gerald Peters to handle this work because nobody had, my grandmother had locked everything up and nobody had seen it for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I went around to a couple of galleries.
So you found this collection of paintings. You know it's important. You go to Seth, the gallerist. She says, maybe Gerald Peters, but you say, let me look and take it to a few more galleries. And then that was a mistake?
Mistake or? In terms that it really annoyed all, or pissed off, shall I say, every gallery owner.
Oh, I bet.
So I just decided, okay, I go.
Because they all wanted it, and you're going, I've got it, but I'm going to work with Jerry? Or
no, I took Gene's advice and went with Jerry.
Yeah. Well, he was the biggest gallery pretty much at that time. You know, there's the top ones would have been Natalings or Zappa and Lampert probably.
No, I mean, talked to them.
Yeah. I don't think you came in to talk to me. I wasn't big enough. I was there. Well, let's see. Maybe I wasn't there. This was this? No, I wouldn't have been. This was 89, right?
This was.
Or 90-ish.
Around there. It took a long time to settle the estate.
Yes.
So I couldn't sign anything with Jerry until 92.
Yeah, that's about, I got there in 96, I think. Or so. 94, 96, yeah. So you finally settled the estate, and then, you know, then you were able to take a portion. Now, this kind of sounds like his life's work to some extent,
yes.
right?
And as I was told, you don't find many estates that have so much work.
Yeah, no.
But that was due to my grandmother.
Because she had money.
Well, she just locked it up.
Oh, but somebody had to have money in the sense that he didn't have to sell paintings.
Right.
He could paint them and leave them, right?
Right. Well, she did up to a point, and then things
changed. Yeah.
So anyway, I think it was November 3rd of 93, we had the opening show. They had police everywhere because there were so many people, cars coming in.
Right.
So it was a very successful opening.
Yeah, I bet. I remember, I don't think I went to the opening. I don't remember that. But I remember going and seeing the collection and being, you know, and again, this is just part of the collection. It's not everything. The things you're bringing me today are a whole different group of things. A lot of the Arizona pieces as well. Jerry, I'm sure, was more interested in the New Mexico pieces. And so I get the bounties of Arizona and California, Southern California, which he lived in both places, right? I mean, he was lived in San Diego at like 1915 to 17.
Well, I know he was in an exhibit because I found something about, what was the exhibit that they had in?
They had the Pan Pacific.
That's it.
Yeah, it was in.
He was in that.
Yeah, that was in 15 and 16, I think.
I think he was in 15.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I never heard the story as to why they came back or why they went to each place. But anyway, so here I am with the paintings, and we decided with Jerry. It was a very successful opening, and then we just continued for about 28 years.
Yeah. And then, yet you still have this wonderful collection because it's his life's work.
Right.
And then I get the bounties because Jerry's worked through a lot of the ones that are New Mexico pieces that are his bread and butter, and he's moved to a little more modern sensibilities, I think, to some extent. Even though I think Schmidt is a very modern painter. I mean, some of the things he has is very, to me, bitten kind of bitten look to it, the way his figures are and his buildings. And so a lot of the things you brought me to are like San Diego in 1915. You know, where there was nothing, Point Loma and different things like that, just a few houses, few buildings.
Well, that's why I think nobody recognized it, certainly not at the gallery.
Yeah.
Because it didn't look like that anymore.
Right.
But this is what it used to
look
like.
Exactly. So for me, it's like I'm getting to find the new hidden treasure.
Right.
You found it when you first went out and said, oh, my God, what do I have? This is worth as much or more than the house. And now I get to have that same kind of, you know, inspiration. And so you were telling me you met your grandfather. Well, you were in Taos when you were just a little baby.
Tsuki
when you were a little baby. But you also met him maybe a little on occasion when you were a little older. You were about 13 when he passed.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. And what did your mom have to say? What kind of person? Do you know what kind of the family lore was about Albert Schmidt? Happy guy?
Well, this was my father's
side. Yeah, your father's.
Nobody talked a whole lot about anything back in those days.
Right. And your dad was in World War II.
Yes.
Right? That's why you were at Tsuki. You went up there and stayed with your grandmother at that time.
And her in-laws.
And her in-laws, yeah.
While he was in the war.
Yeah, and that always changes you too, I think, when you go through something like that. And he went to Japan after the bombings to trying to record and to relate what had happened with that, right?
Right, and when he came back, apparently we left. But my mother said it took 6 months for me to get used to my father because I thought my grandfather was my father. Because that was.
Yeah, because you were saying the painter Albert Schmidt was acting. He was the stand in.
He was there every day.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. He was painting the exact painting, some of them that, you know, I have now in my gallery. Some of them probably were painted while you were a child in that house. And did your father ever talk about what he saw in Japan? I mean, that was a pretty traumatic thing. I don't know if he saw Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Nobody talked about the war in those days.
Yeah, they
didn't want to
think about it, probably.
They probably just wanted to
move on.
Yes.
And grief and all the things that go on.
So nothing was ever said.
Yeah.
And, of course, I never thought about it.
Yes.
Being, young and then a teenager and then my senior year in college, he died.
Mm.
So then when you have a chance to reflect later on, the people or persons aren't there.
Yeah, right. But the house still is.
The house still is there.
Yeah, so this masterpiece.
It's on the state and federal historic register.
I bet it should be. Did he leave any of the furniture, Henderson furniture? Was any of that still? I don't even know if it was when he
No, built what's
it.
So nice are the carved, what would you call it,
Corbels
to cover up the radiators?
Oh, yeah. That's what they call them, radiator covers.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Yeah, I've seen some of those before.
Yeah, so that's in, the dining room, the living room, the entrance.
Yes.
And then back there, the other two bedrooms that way and the bedroom that way, they're just radiators without the covers.
And when was that? Was that house built in the 20s. Yeah, 22. 20s. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So what's it like to live with history?
It's nice. I like it.
I would think.
It's really nice.
And you must get people that sometimes come that are Henderson devotees and just that knock on your door even maybe and go, can I look?
I did not have to put up a plaque.
Yes, that's good.
So the answer is no, I don't want people just
correct. Hear that?
Showing up.
No, people do not show up. Go to the internet. There's probably photos.
Yeah. Well, you just never know.
No,
especially in this day and age.
Yeah, no.
So, no.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to tell me about your grandfather or the collection?
No, I just always have really liked his work, and I'm glad that finally, I guess I'm lucky that I was the one who got to promote it and benefit from it.
Yes, as we will too, which is pretty remarkable. So thank you, Karen, for taking the time. It's exciting to have a collection by somebody. I've always loved their work. I actually think Albert Schmidt has been very unrecognized. And part of that may have been because there were so many of them were just kept in a studio. He sold art, obviously. I bought a major painting that he had sold in the 40s, I think, maybe even earlier, 35 or 40. But, you know, sometimes it takes this recognition and people to get to see these works that they really haven't seen because they don't come to auction very often. They haven't really been out there that much other than, you know, Jerry's had some, but, you know, when you sell, and he did, I think, at least one catalog or so,
two
catalogs in his work. So, but he's clearly gifted as a painter and I love his color sense. So, you know, it's going to be a fun thing for me.
Oh, one thing, there was this Art and Embassies program.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And his work was borrowed and shown in three of embassies. One was the one in Prague.
Yeah, that's cool.
Bern, Switzerland. And then the Ambassador to the Holy See.
Mm.
So there were four paintings there. The one in Bern, the Ambassador, I think there were four, and he bought two.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there may even be images of them. A lot of times on those embassy, because we've loaned pieces to embassies all over the country, all over the world, they'll actually do catalogs on those pieces that are in the house, because a lot of times they're loaned, sometimes they're bought, like this guy may have bought things too, but, you know, so there actually may be even images somewhere out there of the, when that ambassador, because when an ambassador comes, they go, this is what I like, this is what I want to put in the house, and so they put what they like.
So that was really a nice surprise.
Yeah,
got to visit three.
Uh-huh. Did you get to go visit them? Did you go see them?
Oh yeah, we were invited to talk to the ambassador's wife for the Holy See, and she said, "Would you like to come for sort of drinks or lunch?" I said, "We'll come for lunch." I had three friends with me, then they invited us to a party.
Yeah.
So there's half the Catholic Church, half the Sixth Fleet, I think, and the four of us. And the only person that would speak to us was the head of the Sixth Fleet.
Uh-huh,
he came over and talked to us.
That's cool.
But that was fun.
Do you ever get, it may or may not happen because people may not know you're his granddaughter, but do people get excited when, especially they're Schmidt fans, Albert Schmidt fans, and they come up and go, oh my God, you're his granddaughter? Do you get that sometimes?
Occasionally.
Yeah, they probably just don't know who you are.
Right.
You know, if you had that on there, they wouldn't. Or you just take one of his iconic images of the walking guy down the road and had a T-shirt
yes.
made. They would definitely, I would go, oh, that's Albert Schmidt. I know exactly who that is. Why are you wearing that?
You'd say, I should have.
Yeah, you still can.
I don't know where the painting is.
Yeah, I'll send you a painting picture of the one I had.
Okay.
And you can make a copy of that one. It's equally as brilliant as that one, as a matter of fact.
Well, that was a fun one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really great.
I just like the rolling hills and the way the guy's drunk.
Yeah. Now, I had the mate. It was over my bed for many years, many, many years in my house. And one of my clients got into my house and got it out of there. And he still loves it, which is fantastic. So, all right. Well, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for letting us handle this brilliant collection. And, you know, next time I get up to your neck of the woods, I might
come visit. Did you ever see the one, the Native American? There was the Phaeacian up to about here. He did one that was really...
Yeah, I mean, he could probably do anything he wanted to, but I don't think I saw that one. Yeah, when I think of his work, I often think of these landscapes of
churches. And the churches, exactly. Those sold immediately.
They do. The landscape, also just that imagery of New Mexico.
Yes.
But there's so much more that hasn't been seen, which we're going to show.
I'm so glad you're going to do it. Thank you.
I'm happy to.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Karen Schmidt, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's great.